so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, God's on your side.
Every mountain seems too high.
Every
river looks too wide. With my
I know you're looking for an answer, searching for some hope to hold. Those empty hands will leave you waiting and praying for.
And lead you safely to his home. God. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful song this morning as we go through this journey of life, how God has carried us so much through. No matter where you are in the journey this morning, just know that God, and through His love for us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will carry you through. Exactly. That song is, and it's interesting, and it's not interesting, it's God. I had Jesus hold my hand on my heart this morning as we were to do a congregational, but as they were singing that song, it just brings it full circle. Again, as I say, and I know I just said this, but as wherever you are in your life right now, turn it over to the Lord and just let Him. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, to each and every one of us, sometimes we can praise and worship shouting. Sometimes it's that tear that runs down our cheeks. Sometimes it's in those times where we need to hold each other up and we need to stand together, as it was your post this morning or last night, Brother Chris, whenever it was, that it's through that prayer, that circle, that we all lift each other up. And that's who Jesus is. He's right in the middle of it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. For those of you watching online, we're so honored to have you join us. Whether you're watching now live or even at a later date, we just pray for each and every one of you. God is so powerful, and He is so wonderful in His love for us. To praise Him, there's not enough words in my mind or in my heart or in these mouths could even mention. But we just want to lift Him up. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we just want to have that faith that God can and that He will. And we're just going to place it to Him. Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to give my testimony.
Yes. That's right. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Another testimony of how great God is. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. We know that God knows each and every situation. He knows our heart. If you have a praise report, just like we just heard, how God heals and carries us through, raise that other hand. Dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we just want to lift You up and honor You this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we thank You for all that You are. Dear Lord, we just want to magnify You. Lord, we just want to lift You up with all the honor possible. Dear Lord, we ask now, dear Lord, as we open up this service, dear Lord, that You'll accept our praise, our worship. Dear Lord, each and every instrument played, every song sung, dear Lord, to be lifted up to honor You. Lord, may our hearts rejoice in the name of the Lord. Dear Lord, may we just speak everything that You've done through us, through our testimonies of praise. Dear Lord, now as we come again, we just lift up each and every prayer request. Lord, You've seen those hands that were raised. Lord, You've heard those spoken and unspoken prayer requests. You know the depths of our heart. Lord, we know that You're carrying us through. But Lord, we know we also must release it to You and just let You be the complete Lord of our life. Lord, we seek You, dear Lord, and we ask for Your guidance and Your protection. Be with our service this morning. Lord, let Your Spirit flow, dear Lord. May we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, we ask You to touch our pastor this morning. Lord, bless him and his family as they go about Your work. Dear Lord, for each and every ministry that goes forth, Lord, we ask You to continue to bless, but let it all be to glorify You and You alone. Lord, again, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As you're standing, turn to page 52. Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, Lord.
Safety through.
God. Hallelujah. Just love the Lord. You maybe see if you can't. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. We love each and every one of you. We know the Lord loves you. Praise God. I love you. I'd love to have the choir. They just worship. To hear y'all worship this morning, God is great. I know y'all ready for church. Just praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Just want to ask y'all to be in much prayer as we do each time and ask for all the different ministries as we prepare for our Easter presentation and the Ida Bell, the Band of Brothers, the Amazing Gracers. There's so many of them, the Child of the King drama team. And just remember those in the children's church and those on Wednesday night and that children's study and the Bible study that those kids have. And to see how much they're learning and how far we go, just praise the Lord. Do I have any announcements to be brought forward? If anybody would like to help with the Easter presentation and those that I've already asked, you can be here with this afternoon. I'd like to see y'all if you could to meet us here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Love to have you. Just praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Like other babies, as a young boy, I imagine he shared his hopes and dreams. But as he grew older, he began to understand he was the Son of God, an uncommon man. He walked on the earth, but unlike you and me, he walked on water too, set captives free. With a touch of his hand, he could heal broken lives. Those who come to him would find there's hope through the sight. was mocked and he was cursed. Still he stood true and never faltered. And whenever he was tempted, he upheld his Father's word. And in his darkest hour, when others would have ran, he stayed to face the cross, this uncommon man. He walked on the earth, but unlike you and me, he walked on water. Touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him will find there's hope through the sacrifice of this uncommon man. With the touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him. This uncommon man.
This morning on the way to church, I told Gabe, I said, we're going to sing I Raise a Hallelujah. Because when I woke up, that's what I had on my heart. And when I turned on my Alexa, that's the song that was playing. And when I walked in, Sister Penny said, we're singing I Raise a Hallelujah. She said, isn't that just like God? Because she said, Sister Jennifer said, she just sent it over, I Raise a Hallelujah. I was like, well, there you go. So worship with us this morning, I Raise a Hallelujah.
A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear your life.
Praise God. Amen. The King is alive. Glory. Aren't you glad the King's alive?
Amen.
Amen. Raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we do that, First Pentecostal Church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a universal praise, by the way. You can say that in any country, anywhere in the world. Amen. And folks know what you're talking about. Amen. And I believe we're going to hear the hallelujahs ring when we get to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just got a couple of questions for you this morning, if you would indulge me. Is everybody comfortable? Are the seats padded well enough?
Yes.
Are they okay? Is the heating and air settings okay, comfortable for everybody? How about the formation of the pews? Are they able to rest your back? You know, is everybody pretty good with that? Everybody good, feeling good about it?
Yes.
Well, give the Lord praise. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I remember days when saints would gather in little humble cabins in the hills. Maybe I don't go back to the humble cabins, but I remember being out in the yard, and we had little folding chairs. And we set those things down, and we sat there and had church under the stars. Amen. And I'm so thankful. That's the reason I asked. Well, I'm very thankful for what God has blessed us with. We have a wonderful, wonderful sanctuary and the real estate here and all that God has just blessed us with. But you know what? I found God to be just as real here as he is out in the open stars. Amen. Because I find my altar anywhere I kneel and talk to God. I remember days when saints would gather in their little humble cabins in the hills. They had no fancy pews or pretty altars. They made their altar anywhere they found to kneel. Upon the mountain high, close to God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chance to try. Anywhere I'd bow my knee, well, it's a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Aren't you glad that we can talk to him anywhere? Well, I don't have to find a pretty chapel or a temple that reaches to the sky. And I don't have to kneel in the church house. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Upon the mountain high, close to God's big sky, anywhere on God's green earth I chance to trot. Anywhere I'd bow my knee, well, it's a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Anywhere I bow my knee, it's just a sacred place to me. I find my altar anywhere I talk to God. Aren't you glad he's an all-time God? And he's an omnipresent God. Amen and amen. I still believe in a miracle-performing God. I still adhere to the fact that nothing is impossible with God. What he did in his word, he can still do today. I'm reminded of a little woman who had spent all that she had from doctors, but couldn't get any better. In fact, she grew worse. She found out that Jesus was in near her home. Amen. And she made her way to Jesus, which was not an easy task at all. I'm sure that after 12 years of losing blood, I'm sure that she was in a very weakened condition, but she was persistent. Amen. It's not a time to give up, folks. Amen. No matter whether we feel like it or not, it's not a time to give up. But she made her way to Jesus, and she pushed through the crowd, and she but touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says virtue came out of his body, and healing took place right there. That's the God that I serve. Amen. If you believe that, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of God. Good to feel his holy presence. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Exodus. In the third chapter of the book of Exodus, we find a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that I've dwelt on this week. And truly, it was blessed in seeking the Lord and having the Lord minister unto me. And I pray this morning that the same holds true for you. I pray that God will just minister to you this morning, give you that you need to hear, whether you are standing in need of prayer or whether everything is well with you. I mean, he knows we still need God. Amen. No matter the situation, if everything is right and bright and the skies are blue, we certainly need him. But if it's stormy and rainy and the clouds are just hanging over our head, spiritually, we need him as well. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Everybody say backside of the desert. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. God, for the healing, Lord, that you've performed this morning. God, and not only this day, but each and every day of our lives. Father, we find ourselves in need again of, God, a touch and an anointing from you. And Father, we pray your will be done today. God, anoint these lips of clay, anoint this vessel. God, is nothing more than an oracle, God, that you might speak to us, that you would have us to hear. Lord, help us to understand and be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, we pray for each and every one who may be viewing by live stream today. If there's any needs out there, God, you are aware of them. And Father, we pray that you reach your mighty hand out right now and touch and anoint. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We humbly ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I want to speak a little while this morning concerning holy ground. There's a wonderful set of aspects and themes in this particular story. It's probably one that maybe you learned about in Sunday school. By the way, I'm thankful for Sunday school. Man, I was made aware of so many of the things in the Bible at a very early age. Did not understand all of them, but was intrigued by each and every story. I had some favorites, and, you know, as I grew and matured in the Lord, I was thankful for that upbringing, that I was able to be introduced to the words of the Lord and the stories of the Lord at a very early age. But the Lord led me here this week, and I want to bring some things to us that maybe you already know, maybe you don't, maybe you're like me. I preached on it, listened to it, heard sermons, sung about it, but I was intrigued by some of the things that are incorporated in this particular story. First of all, the request that God made of Moses to take off your shoes or remove your sandals because the place on where you're standing is holy ground. That intrigued me. Also intrigued me that God spoke to Moses, and Moses had already seen the burning bush, and he was headed to see what was going on. And the Lord said, draw not hither. Don't come near yet. That intrigued me. Another thing that intrigued me was, what was Moses doing on the backside of the desert trying to find a place to feed the sheep? And all of these things, God has a purpose for everything in our life. And I said that to say this. There's times we're stumbling around in the desert. We're wondering where God is. And if we're not wondering where God is, we're wondering where the answer is, and we aren't wondering what God is going to do and how he's going to do it, and wondering why we're spending so much time kind of wandering around, stumbling around, looking for the answer of God. Now, we find that this particular account happened some 40 years after Moses had left Egypt. You know, he had to leave Egypt. He had to leave Egypt because he had killed one of the soldiers there, and he was a fugitive, and he had met up with Jethro's daughter, and he had married her, and he became the committed, dedicated son-in-law, and he was out tending sheep and taking these sheep to greener pastures. And I would imagine just after 40-something years, this was probably a very familiar route. Maybe Moses had done this before, and when he couldn't find grazing or fertile ground nearby, he would travel great distances, and maybe this was one of those particular times. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there had been a drought. Maybe the season of grass was not growing like it should be, but he knew a spot. He knew a spot where the grass was greener. He knew a spot where the sheep could be fed. And I thought about that. I believe that every Christian who has weathered storms, spiritual storms, who has been able to be proven that God will, in fact, make a way when there's no way, I'm inclined to believe that we know where those greener spots are. We know how to get in touch with God. We know how to get an earnest prayer through. Amen. I believe everyone who has walked with the Lord for a number of years knows that when we get sincere with God, God will get sincere with us. Amen. And so many times we venture away from those greener spots. We find ourselves maybe not necessarily needing that miracle from God, or that touch, or that anointing, or just that close relationship. And it's never God that moves. It's always the us or the person. But Moses knew about a spot. I know about a spot. I said, I know about a place. I know that I can come before God with a humble heart, amen, and a repentant nature, and a request upon my heart and my lips, and I know that I'm going to find God. I know He's going to be there. Amen. He's always there. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter the time of day or not. I always find Him there and willing to listen and to help. And I know where that spot is. That spot is not a physical location. You know, a lot of times we read this story, we would think that that particular place on the backside of the desert, there by the tree, actually if you read reference on it, it was more of a tree than it was a bush. But in either case, it burned. It never burned out. Amen. That lets me know God was in it. Glory to God. And many times in reading that story, one might think that that would be the only place that you could ever reach God. That that was the only place in that whole mountainous area or that desert where there was, in fact, holy ground just similarly around or symmetrically just around that burning bush. And if that mindset is true, then it might be held to this fact that the only time or the only place that I could reach holy ground, or the only time that I could come before the throne of heaven, or the only time that I could reach up and touch the Spirit of the Lord in my time of need would maybe be in a sanctuary or maybe be at an altar. Amen. And I'm not discounting the fact, because I believe that God inhabits our praise and we come into the house to praise God. And I also believe there's an altar, a place, amen, a point of contact that we can get in touch with God. But let's get real about this thing. I don't live in the church house, and I don't always stay by the altar, but I serve a living God who's there with me wherever I am. I found Him in a hospital room. I found Him, praise God, driving down the road. I found Him in the midnight hour when I got out of my bed and got down on my knees and said, God, I need that holy ground. I need that anointing now. And I've always found God to be there. No, it's not so much a location, but rather a spiritual mindset. As I read and I studied and I referenced, I found out that there is an approach that God desires from us when we come before Him. The removing of the shoes and the removing of the sandals was a Jewish custom. And it represented that you were showing full reverence, humility, and respect. And I would also add, I didn't find this, but I would also add that it is the removal of anything that comes between you and that holy ground, whether it be natural, physical, or spiritual. I'm not one to think that we need to enter into the holiest of holies, or that holy ground, or a place, amen, of contacting the Lord, and let him tell, or begin to share with him all the things that are happening in the world and all the things that's bothering us. That's not really showing reverence. That's not really showing humility. That's not really showing respect. I believe it ought to be a sincere thing when we have the honor and the privilege to go past the broken veil, the torn veil that was rent in twain, and we can boldly go before the presence of God with the utmost reverence, with the utmost respect, and the greatest of humility. I want to tell you, I want to remind you, it is an honor and a privilege to come before the presence of God in prayer and in seeking solitude. In fact, it might be said, don't come near until you have experienced or exemplified these qualities. But Lord, sometimes I just don't have time to do all that. Everybody knows he's an on-time God. But I do believe in the study of the Scripture that God is serious about prayer time. I mean, so much so that it is not so much concerned about the quantity of time that you spend on that holy ground before God, but he is certainly concerned about the quality of time that we spend with him. Listen, I know God is a busy God. I know God is answering prayers right now. I know God is saving souls right now, even as I'm preaching the word of God. Somewhere, somebody just got saved. It may not have been here, but somewhere, somebody just got delivered. Somewhere, somebody just got healed. Somewhere, somebody just had a miracle take place. And I know my God is busy, and I do not want to mess with his time. Amen. Moaning and groaning and complaining and telling him everything that's wrong. I want to come before him. Amen. With total and absolute reverence, with the utmost of humility, and with the greatest of respect. Man, I know that God doesn't require of us a long prayer. He doesn't require of us an eloquent prayer. But I believe he does want us to be sincere. And if we don't get anything out of this message other than that, Lord, help me to be sincere when I come before your presence. God, help me to mean business when I bow my knee. It doesn't have to be in the church house. It can be on a mountaintop. It can be anywhere that I get in touch with God, because I'm serious about this. Reverence, let's look at it. Basically, it is an awe, a reverent fear. You know, many people read the Word of God, and every time they see a fearful God, they think we're supposed to be afraid of him. But actually, that particular fear means the utmost respect. I mean, greatest of respect for our Lord and Savior. And Hebrews 12:28 tells us to serve God with reverence. I'll go on to say that we are having a reverent attitude. Man, a reverent attitude doesn't incorporate, Lord, you just got to do this. Oh, me. I don't know if anybody else has been a guilty of that, but I've actually said, Lord, you just got to do this. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. What if Jesus had said in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, you just got to do this? Where would we be if God did that, spared him from the cruel cross of Calvary? No, God doesn't have to do it. We should pray this prayer, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever my will is, God, let your will supersede it. Lord, I'm just an unworthy piece of flesh molded and fashioned from the dust of the earth. I was nothing until you breathed the breath of life into me. I'm yours. I've been bought with a price. I belong to you, Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to lead me, guide me, and help me. And I come to you, Lord, with the utmost reverence. reverence and appreciation just for the very fact that I can kneel before your presence. And what an honor that is. What an honor that is. We are to have reverent attitude toward God. We honor Him, express gratitude to Him, and obey His commandments. Man. It's almost like the child who is an obedient child and a loving child and a child that does not misbehave more than a normal child would. But when they approach their parents with a certain request, you parents know, is it a lot easier to grant that request if they are obedient, submissive, polite, not coming with a demanding attitude, and not sticking that hand out, whatever. You imagine going before the presence of God, and God says, I want you to do this, whatever. Come on. I think so many people in the world have got prayer all mixed up. They think it's just a laundry list to take to God to have Him to fill our request. And I would dare say that on that laundry list before God, not a whole lot of that is about your spirituality. More of it is about your physical needs or your material needs or just, Lord, just do this for me because I love you. Not saying that He won't. He will. Tells us in His Word He will supply our needs. He said, ask and it shall receive. Knock shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. But I want us, church, to understand what a privilege, what an honor it is to come before the presence of God in total reverence. Not only reverence, but in humility, being humble, free from pride and arrogance, almost a sense of unworthiness. I've heard people say it, I'm so unworthy. And we are. We are. We can't earn this. We don't deserve this, but that's what makes it that much more precious and more sweeter to have that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be able to come before Him. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility and fear are of the Lord. Humility and reverent fear or the utmost respect is of the Lord. In fact, if we don't have a relationship with the Lord, it'll be very, very difficult for us to approach Him in the right frame of our spiritual mind. Because He told Moses, now He loved Moses. He had great things planned for Moses. And He knew Moses in time was going to be submissive and obedient and a great warrior and a great leader. But this particular time, He said, don't you come here. Don't you come near yet. That struck me. Lord, maybe I need to prepare myself to enter into the holiest of holies. Not that I can be any more saved. Not that I can be any more filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you receive it, you feel, amen, you're filled with the fullness of it. But I can have a little better mindset when I come into the presence of Almighty God. And I begin to stand on that holy ground. And the holy ground was not because of the tree. It wasn't because it was on the backside of the desert. It wasn't because the grass was greener there. And it wasn't even really because it was a special geographical place. It was there because the holy ground was because the Spirit of God was there. Amen. And aren't you thankful you can find that spiritual relationship with God in any place on this earth? But we need to approach with reverence, with humility and respect. Colossians 3:12, have a humbleness of mind, an unworthiness, an I am nothing, you are everything frame of mind. Of I can do nothing, but you can do everything mindset when we enter to the presence of God. Now, I know we have to come with faith, and I know we have to believe, and I understand that, and God promotes faith. But let's do it in the right frame of mind. Let's enter into that holy ground. And again, I'm not saying a geographical location. I'm saying a spiritual mindset when we come and ask humbly before the Lord. And it's like, pray, Lord, your will be done rather than mine. God, you know the best, what's best for me. Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit, and God, I want to be submissive and obedient unto you. Help me to have and to maintain those spiritual qualities before you. James 4 and 6 says, God gives grace to the humble. We know that God is graceful. We know that he gives grace. Amen. But you know, when we're humble and we're submissive and we're obedient, it's so much easier for the Lord just to give us the desires of our heart when we're serious before him. Prayer time is special, folks. It is. I pray we don't ever just say it's a part of the service or it's just we got to do this, but it is an honor. It is a privilege to bow my head before an omnipresent God, an omnipotent God, an all-knowing God. Can you imagine the creator of heaven and earth, the giver of life and breath, and be able to come boldly and stand before him? Amen. And have that time of communion and communication with God. It is an honor and it is a privilege. In reverence, in humility, and finally in respect. In respect. You know, you've heard the saying that respect is gained or respect is earned. You know, I know the Bible says don't have respect of persons, and God doesn't have respect of persons. If that be the case, he would only die just for a few folks. And I'm very sad to say I probably wouldn't have been one of those few folks. Amen. I know my past. And I know where God brought me from. And that's the reason I'm so thankful. And that's the reason I consider it such an honor and a privilege. Amen. Because I knew what the Lord brought me from. I knew what the Lord delivered me from. And now he tells me and asks me to come and to stand before him on that holy ground. Amen. And have direct communication with him. What a blessing. What a privilege. If you're thankful for that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. It is an honor and it's a privilege. But respect is gained. Respect is to give honor, value in the sense of a relationship. You know, it's been often said that you may not like a person, but you respect them. And respect them, why? Because of their stance on certain things, because of their mindset, because of their qualities or their beliefs. You know, sometimes we find that if we adhere to certain beliefs that we're not going to be popular. Let me tell you something. I am not concerned about being popular. Man, I've never aspired to make the who's who's list or anything like that or recognized in any way. But there is one place that I want my name to show up. Amen. There's one place I got to be concerned about having my name, and that's on the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. And I find that comes through the infilling of His Spirit, living for the Lord, accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and striving to live a holy and righteous life that I could never do until the Spirit of the Lord came inside me and took up His abode. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Glory to God. To give honor, to give value in the sense of a relationship. I want to read Romans 13 and verses 1 and 2, if I might. Romans chapter number 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We are to be subject to the higher powers of God. Amen. That means His way overrides our way. When we pray, when we come with reverence, and when we come with humility, we must be able and we must be willing to accept His answer. Sometimes His answer is not exactly what we want to hear. Amen. You know, when Moses finally took his shoes off and he came closer to the burning bush, and the voice began to speak to him and give him instruction and tell him he wanted him to go down to Egypt. And Moses hadn't been there in 40 years because he knew what was waiting on him down there. Probably judgment and death. Sometimes what God speaks is not exactly what we want to hear, but it's God's plan. Amen. And we must have respect and obedience unto God's plan. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. This is something that I truly, truly want to incorporate in my devotion, in my praise, in my adoration. I know there's songs about it, but we get, I won't say we, I get into certain phrases. Praise the Lord is wonderful. It is. Hallelujah is great. And all of those praises, and God inhabits those praise of his people, and he loves to hear those praises. How many knows that God is a jealous God and he wants no other gods before him? He absolutely loves his children to glorify and praise him. But here's one that I want to incorporate. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy of every other human being on the planet of this earth. Thou art worthy over powers, over kingdoms, over majesties, over anything that this world has to offer. God, thou art worthy of my praise. Thou art worthy of my devotion. Thou art worthy of my love and my adoration. I want to exalt you in everything that I do. Heavenly Father, thou art worthy. Oh Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The absolute, utmost respect of Almighty God. You see, the world has gotten away from that. Unfortunately, God is not referred to in today's society as the God. He's only sometimes mentioned in a group and referred to as a God. Church, we can't allow that. I said, we can't hear that. He deserves our utmost reverence, our absolute humility, and the greatest honor and respect that we can offer anybody. We need to give that unto the Lord. Thou art worthy, God, not these other so-called gods that are not gods, but you and you alone are worthy. You and you alone are my reason, amen, that I came to an altar of repentance. You and you alone are the one that I'm looking forward to seeing, amen, when I enter that glorious kingdom. Psalms 119 and 6. The writer said, I will not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Not just the ones I like, but to all thy commandments, to all of thy precepts, and to your statutes. Father, I want to be obedient to all. I want to live by your word. I want to trust in you. Above my own ability, above my own talent, above my own whatever intelligence there is between these ears, Lord, I want to depend on you and you alone to lead me and guide me. And that's the reason when I face certain situations, I do so knowing that as long as I'm obedient unto God, God will have his way. He may not agree with mine, but he will have his way. Help me to accept the will of God. Help me to accept, Lord, your direction, because I want to serve you with all the reverence, all the humility, and all of the respect that I can muster. Again, in Psalms 119 and 15, I not only will have respect unto thy commandments, but I will have respect unto thy ways. And when we respect God's ways, and when we live by the qualities and the commandments that are in the Word of God that we obey, then the world will take notice. They may not come up to you and say, boy, I really appreciate your stance for God, or I really appreciate you living a Christian life, but they may tell it to others. My dad served in Korea, and I don't know if this was after they were already sent to Korea or when this was in training, but anyway, they were in the barracks. And evidently, it was a little free time because they was getting sort of rowdy around the card table and maybe, you know, just kind of doing things. And they'd ask my dad several times to join them, and Dad would always excuse himself. And this particular night, he was lying there in the barracks in the bed and in the bunk, and they assumed and thought that he was asleep. And they were carrying on all their jokes and this and that and the other, and one of them spoke up and he said, I tell you one thing. Charlie may not get involved with all of this, but I'll have to say that you got to respect him for what his beliefs are. And Dad never acknowledged anything. But the world knows. The world knows when you're sold out to God. Amen. And I want to be sold out to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because without him, I'm nothing. And with him, I can do all things. I want to leave you with this, another passage of Scripture from Psalms, the 43rd chapter, where actually all of this originated when I began to read that and began to run reference, and it tied into the holy ground experience that Moses had. You know, a lot of Christians say, man, wouldn't that have been something? It can still be something. Amen. You got access just like Moses did. In fact, you got greater access because we're living in the dispensation of grace. Amen. We're living in a time, amen, when God understands and forgives us and opens up that altar, amen, that and gives us the boldness to enter in. So in many ways, we got it better than even Moses had. But are we taking advantage of it? The writer here in chapter 43 of Psalms, verses 3, 4, and 5. He requests, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So wonderfully written, but I want us to look at that particular place. Bring me unto thy holy hill. Synonymous with the holy ground. Synonymous with that place of contact that we have the honor and the privilege to come to Almighty God. I often say this, I've never dialed him up and been put on hold. Never dialed him up and got a recording. But he's always there. Amen. I don't have to mash a certain button to get to him. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Sometimes we need instant prayer. Sometimes we need God instant attention, and he's always there. But I would say to us this morning in closing, find that holy hill. Take advantage of that holy place, that holy ground. Again, please don't get the mindset that it is a particular place or a geographical or a materialistic place. It is not. It's a spiritual place. I remember, many remember seeing one of the movies where one of the actors had a prayer room. You remember the sticky notes that was all over? I will assure you that if we were able to go into that prayer room, we would feel the presence of God because it had been dedicated. This is my prayer time. This is my holy ground. Amen. Nothing holy about that closet. But because we dedicate a place to reach out and to touch God, it can become holy ground to us. If we enter in with reverence, with humility, and the utmost respect. Amen. Find that holy hill. Take advantage of it. Amen. You'll find that that's the greatest thing that we can do, is be able to communicate directly with our Lord and Savior. Would you stand this morning? God bless you is our prayer. We love you so very much. We thank you for the prayers of for Mother. We thank you for all of those who've reached out to us and asked about her. And all I can say is she's just about the same. I don't really notice any change of any great value, but still needs prayers. And just pray God's will, amen, because that's sometimes we don't want our will to overshadow God's will. So we have to say, Lord, I humbly request of you, your will be done, not ours. And when we approach any prayer, that's the mindset that we should have. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have a need this morning, if you felt maybe you spent too much time in that desert wandering around and you need to find that holy ground, you need to find that greener grass spiritually, God is here, God is waiting, and God is willing, amen, if you are willing. If you have need this morning, if you have a sickness, if you have an affliction, I don't know anybody better to go to than Almighty God. Would you come forward? Bless these that are coming. Some of you elders come around and pray with these needs. If your other needs, please come as we get ready to pray.
All forsaken take.
If we can sing that from our heart, then we have surrendered every burden, every sickness, every affliction unto the Lord. Amen. And how many knows when you do that, believe in God to do all things. May God bless you. We love you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful word from the Lord this morning. I love it. I love that chorus. I surrender all. I know there are those that are suffering and those that are in needs, but I think, and I know we say it a lot from this pulpit and a lot in our Sunday school classes, but that complete surrender to Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for His word, as I said. All hearts and minds are clear. Just really appreciate each and every one of you. We love you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your dedication, for you watching online. Again, if you have a prayer request, put it in the comment section or a praise report. We'll just continue just to pray with you. It is our honor to go to the Lord. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. All righty. Well, you're all invited back for service this evening. Come join us. Also, if you're in the play or you would like to be part of it, please join us this evening at 5. Praise God. All right, with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, thank you for allowing us, dear Lord, to feast at your table as your word is read and brought forth. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for answering these prayers, for the healings. Lord, for all the protection and guidance that you're giving each and every one of us, Lord. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. We give you all the honor and glory in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.